Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And the reason that is so is because Christianity in the world has become counterfeit Christianity, fake Christianity. Move away from God. Move away from the commandments of God. And they have been dealing with a slack hand. Yet they've grown rich and increased with goods. So there are a lot of people who have left the church in the world, worldly Christianity, because they see all the difficulties and problems, and yet they themselves have problems themselves. So they don't feel it's worthwhile to seek God or to find God. Many are going from church to church to church to church to try and find God, but they can't find God. So let's look at the experience of ancient Israel, and let's do a comparison between what they did and what is happening today. And as a matter of fact, we have a fantastic book for you, America and Britain in Prophecy. And we will send that book to you at no cost. And many of the people who are in the Christianity of the world today are the modern descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now that may come as a shock or surprise to you, but that is the truth. So the parallel is actually quite fitting. Now, Jeremiah had a special ministry, and it went over a period of 40 years. And he was a very young man when he started. And God was with him, and he told him that it is going to be difficulty because he had a lot of hard words to say to them. Let's come to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and verse 16, and see the ministry that Jeremiah had. And it was difficult for 40 years because he had to warn the nation of Judea and the Jews and whatever Israelites were there in that area as well, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed because of their sins, because they dealt with a slack hand and went after other gods and turned their back on the true God. So God said, here's what I'm going to do. Verse 16, I will pronounce my judgments against them regarding their wickedness in that they have forsaken me. And that's what a lot of people are who are called the nunners or the nuns. You want nothing, N-O-N-E, none of religion. None of Christianity. Well, you're forsaking God. But you're probably involved in a false Christianity. So if you want to recover from that, that's why we have church at home. You can start to recover right in your own home. So let's read on. And burning incense to other gods and worshiping the works of their own hands. And boy, isn't that true today? People worship the works of their own hands.
The small town of Red Bank near Columbia is making national headlines this week. It's because of a controversy surrounding a statue at a Baptist church.
It's the tale of a church divided. Members of the Red Bank Baptist Church on the fence after the pastor announces the removal of a statue in front of the church.
I don't know who decided to take it down, but it's been a symbol of that church many years. I don't understand because I think when you first drive up and see it, that gives you a great impression of that church.
And the impression of the church is the pastor's concern when it comes to this statue. In his letter to the artist behind the sculpture, Pastor Dr. Jeff Wright writes, "We have discovered people view this art as Catholic in nature, but that's not the case for Van Gogh, who's lived next to the church since the 60s.
I think it's a pretty symbol of Jesus, and for me to say they've taken it down because it looks too Catholic, I don't believe that.
I'm the leader here. And yes, I initiated this, but the church approved it.
The pastor's letter indicates the statue has to be removed by the end of the month.
It's really pretty at the front of the church, and I don't know who wouldn't want it there, and I don't know who decided to take it down, but I would like for it to be left.
As of May 31st, the statue still stands.
You therefore must gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. So behold, I've made you a fortified city this day, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its rulers, against its priests, against the people of the land. Now that describes exactly how it is in America today and much of the world where there is known Christianity. They shall fight against you, but they shall not overcome you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. So then he said, go tell them this. Start out with where I began. They started out perfectly. When God brought them into the promised land, they conquered the ones who were there. God brought them into a tremendous land, as we will see. And after a while, they began to forget God. And they began to think, well, we're doing so well, we don't need any of this God stuff. Chapter 2, verse 3. Israel was holiness to the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall be guilty. Evil shall come on them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. So now, are you willing to hear the word of the Lord? Are you willing to look at your life for what it really, really is? And what you are actually doing? That you are forsaking God for your own pleasures, you are forsaking God for other things, which then is likened to foreign gods. What do you love more than God?
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Good morning.
No place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. Landlord say your rent is late, he may have to litigate. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
Thus says the Lord. What injustice have your fathers found in me? And isn't that what they say? Oh, the law is done away. Isn't that what they say today? What injustice is there in the law? Read the Ten Commandments. They're based on love and truth. That they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and became vain. Is that your life because you've decided you want none of Christianity of this world? Well, come to the true Christianity of the Word of God And don't say, well, you're reading out of the Old Testament. Well, please understand this. Did you know that the apostles, when they began preaching about Jesus Christ, did not have the New Testament? That they preached from the Old Testament? And there are so many prophecies about Jesus and the New Testament ministry in the Old Testament. It is incredible. And never, never did they say the law has been abolished, and neither did Jesus. So maybe that's why you become a nun, or I'll just say a nunner, that you have left because of the hypocrisy and the other things that take place. Nor did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, a land of dry places and of deep darkness, through a land that no man passed through, where no man lived? Now notice how God did for them. He made the land wonderful, fantastic. Look at America. Is not America one of the greatest countries in the world? Fantastic in geography, productivity, assets, minerals, everything that God gave in America. So the parallels are something. Let's read it. I brought you into a plentiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and you made my inheritance an abomination. And where does all of this get rid of religion start? Or let's rephrase it, get rid of God start. Because in religion, they try and get rid of God and substitute their own traditions and their own teachings. And that's how they become fake Christianity. The priest, or the church leaders, we could say, did not say, where is the Lord? And they who handled the law did not know me. Now, isn't that something? There are a lot of ministers who say that the law is abolished, and they say that they know the Lord, but they don't. The rulers also rebelled against me. Look at what we have today with our government here in America, and any of the states or the federal government. The rulers have forgotten God. They didn't know God, rebelled against him. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. Now, who was Baal? Baal was the sun god. And guess which day is the sun god's day? It's still named that today, Sunday. That's not the New Testament Sabbath. Absolutely not. Now, you need the book, Which Day is the True Christian Sabbath? We got some fantastic information for you that Sunday is not the Lord's day, never was, never has been, and never will be. Now, because they went after the sun god, look what happened, and walked after things that do not profit. Lives become vain. Lives become empty. Lives become ruin. Lives become all involved in different things, as we covered there in the segments on drugs. Come down here to verse 11. God says, has a nation changed their gods who are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. The glory of living in the land that God prepared for us and made beautiful and wonderful and gave us wealth and everything that we have. And then become nunners. They're doing things that do not profit, chasing after things that are vanity and wind. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. Now, you might think, oh, I haven't committed any evil. Since I quit going to church, things have been pretty good for me. Well, maybe God is giving you a time to try and find the real truth, not the counterfeit. The two evils. They have forsaken me. That is the true God, the God of the Bible, and to live by every word of God as Jesus said. The fountain of living waters, and Jesus likens the Holy Spirit to living waters, and he says that if you believe in him and love him and obey him, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And here's the other sin. Hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Setting up their own Christianity. Now they have done it. Look at all the forms of different Christianity. Go online, do a Google search, find out how many Christian religions there are, and then ask the question. How many of them are authentic? That's exactly what the children of Israel did back then, and that's exactly what we're doing today, isn't it? Yes. Think on it. Verse 17, have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? And now what profit is there in going the way of Egypt? And that's what they came out of. Look at the fascination that people have with Egypt today. Verse 19. Your own evil shall correct you, and your backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God. Isn't that true? That's why we have so much trouble in this nation. Because those priests and those ministers who had the Bible ignored most of it to teach pretty little nice things. And they never taught the people how you love God, how you love your neighbor, how you worship God. See, God is worshiped not in a public setting, in church. Church is to be where you learn of God. Worship is where you're at home and you study the Word of God and you pray to God. And you worship him, and you acknowledge that he is God and Lord and creator and giver of every good thing, and how fantastic and wonderful are his ways and his laws and his truth, and how marvelous it is that God watches over us and blesses us and gives us all the good things that we need. But no. Got to go on our own way. That you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. When people get in trouble, remember 9/11? Oh, yes, everybody go to church, go to synagogue, get back to the Lord. This is punishment of God, which it probably was. But now they have forgotten. Now when trouble comes, verse 26, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their rulers, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth. Uh-huh. Evolution, yes. God didn't create us. For they have turned their back to me, and not their face. In the time of their trouble, they will say, arise, save us! Will God save us? Will God save you? Will God help you? If you've left him, become a nunner, turn your back on God? So God will say, where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why will you contend with me? You have all sinned against me, says the Lord. Now then, let's come to Revelation, the third chapter, and see what we are as a nation. And see how this fits the fake Christianity, and even parts of some of it that are supposedly true Christianity. So he says here, verse 16, because you are lukewarm. Now, there are a lot of people that way. One foot supposedly where God is, and one foot where the world is. You are lukewarm. You are neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of my mouth, for you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. When that happens, things happen to our minds, to our hearts, to our reactions, because we have everything completely out of perspective. And you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So he says, I'm going to correct you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He's calling. I stand at the door and knock. That is the door of your mind. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. How should we seek God? Well, first of all, we need to repent of this lukewarmness. We need to repent of taking everything for granted. We need to repent of cutting God out of our lives. And we need to seek God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and in spirit and in truth. Let's come to John, the fourth chapter. Let's see what God wants, and let's see what you can do. And God will hear an answer, because God wants you to come to him, and he will forgive, and he will strengthen, and he will bring you back to him. But it's got to be God's way. We can't come to God our way, because we have to come to God his way. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, and they had a fake religion there. And he said to her, John 4:22, you do not know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Why did he say that? Because that's where it started. See, they had the word of God. They were the ones to whom the Messiah was promised to come. But notice this. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. Not in Jerusalem, not in a church building, but in your home in spirit and in truth. And then, when you're able to come together with other true believers, then you are taught the Word of God, and you love each other, and you have the fellowship that comes from God. For the Father is seeking those who worship Him in this manner. Why? Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must, meaning obligatory, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's what God wants. He wants us to seek Him. Seek Him with all our heart. Seek Him with all our soul. Seek Him with all our being. And come out of this doldrum of being a nunner. Because that is going to lead to nothing, which is another word for nunner. So I hope these things help you to really look at your life. Look at what you're doing. Look at how you're living your life. Seek God the way that God wants you to, in spirit and truth. You write for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? That will be a good start for you. And you get a hold of the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order, a faithful version, and that will be a Bible that you can really understand. And then begin to keep the Sabbath in your home and study the Bible every Sabbath as well as other times so that you will be able to understand the Word of God. Begin with the Ten Commandments. And then come to the Gospel of Mark and start going through the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus began teaching. And that gospel is one of the easiest to understand. And there you will see, Jesus did not do away with the laws and commandments of God at all. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.